The views and opinions expressed by A Little Bit Culty are those of the hosts and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the podcast. Any content provided by our guests, bloggers, sponsors, or authors are of their opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, group, club, organization, business, individual, anyone, or anything. Welcome to A Little Bit Culty, a podcast about what happens when something that seems like a great thing at first goes to the dark side and takes you with it. I'm your host, Sarah Edmondson.
And I'm also your host, Anthony Ames, a.k.a. Nippy. Sarah and I met, fell in love in a, quote, self-help organization that turned out to be a mega cult called Nexium. Heard of it? We got out of there together, and on our way out, we helped shut it down. Our journey as Nexium whistleblowers was captured in detail on a docuseries called The Vow on HBO, and also on the front page of a newspaper.
New York Times, babe.
Right.
Have you heard of it? Each week on A Little Bit Culty, we talk with other former cult members and whistleblowers, plus experts in things like cultic abuse and coercive control.
We also turn the mic over to advocates and clinicians with wisdom to share on recovering from everything from MLMs and toxic religion to bad romances with raging narcissists.
There's always something to learn about the cultiverse. Be sure to subscribe to A Little Bit Culty so you don't miss an episode. Find us on Instagram and at alittlebitculty.com.
Is this another summer bonus episode?
People aren't going to believe us when we say we're taking a break. Yeah. But the thing is that we have been taking a break. We've been packing, getting ready for our move.
Packing's not taking a break, by the way, just so
you
know.
No, you may see pictures of me like swimming or at the beach and stuff with the kids, but that's like 2% of the time. The rest of the time, I'm knee deep in memorabilia.
Also, if you want to find out if your relationship's strong, leave a cult together first. Second,
plan an international move.
Yeah, try that. If you can sustain those two things within 5 years of each other, I think you might make it another five.
So what are you saying? That we're getting through this okay?
Yeah. I mean, it's been my inner peace.
What's been your inner peace?
What's gotten me through this?
Oh, your inner peace has gotten you through it. Not me. No, of course. No, I am crazy right now. I totally bit your heart off this morning.
Okay.
I apologize.
Okay.
I'm going to apologize
listen,
the format of the podcast.
I don't say it's enough, but how you cruise direct the whole thing and just steer me in the right direction, I'm totally appreciative of. Because I hate thinking this stuff through. And I'm a monkey when it comes to like just monkey work and I can do it. So I have no problem doing
That's really nice
and
to hear.
Every now and then if I get my head bit off, I just write it down and remember.
Just write it down. I'll text you from now on.
Actually, it works. Texting does work.
I appreciate that. But point being, we've been in the thick of it. It feels like it's just a constant thick of it. And we're just in that thick. But we still love interacting with you guys on Instagram. And we thought we'd just, you know, check in. And say hi, happy summer. We're just going to do a quick 30-minute chat, a couple little things we wanted to mention.
A couple Ask Me Anythings that we've gotten.
Yeah, a couple questions and just share a couple stories that popped up.
Just shooting the shit, right, Sarah? No
just
big deal.
Just shooting the shit. Just shoot
no
it.
Deal.
No bigs.
It's hard to leave Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. Especially right now, it's like, it's so nice.
It's so rude.
We should have left in November or January. I would have been like, see you later, Vancouver, you dingy hole.
Sarah, that's such dirty talk.
I know. I have to make it bad so it's easier to leave. I want to just thank a couple people. Listen, so many donors have chipped in in the donor box, which is just like making it possible to continue. And especially want to mention some very generous ones. Melinda Brock sending us $50 a month. Helena Durst at $100 a month. And Kelly Slavic, I hope I'm saying that right, just dropped $500 in donor box for us, which is pretty much a full episode of production. So thank you.
That's everyone. Two episodes almost right there.
Depending on how you look at the production costs. I'll show you the Excel spreadsheet and you can...
I was just spitting numbers over here, Sarah, and you went off.
Yeah, those are that's not accurate. No.
Okay.
We wear different hats in this job.
Yeah, but if it's... Okay. I can do basic math, but carry on.
Okay, well, I actually had something that I've been wanting to say, and another reason why we decided to do this bonus is there was a mistake made in the last episode with Sarah Landry, and... Tangent, if anyone particular listening to this episode, her name is Heather Elliott. Heather Elliott, paging Heather Elliott. You sent us a message recently through the contact form, but your email address is incorrect because our replies to your wonderful email have been bouncing. Could you please try us again? But really what we want to say is that we hear you and we appreciate you writing. And mostly, I just want to say that I'm sorry. So in this episode, I made an off-the-cuff comment about the Indian residential schools. And my comment sounded like I was minimizing the trauma and the relevance of those totally evil abominations. And I get it. On playback, it sounded like I was writing the schools off as ancient history. And not only was this comment hurtful, although, of course, it was unintentionally hurtful, it was factually wrong as hell. And I actually had flagged that comment for removal during our review process before it went to air. And unfortunately, it got missed, just human error, and it made it to air. But to hear it was a gut punch, and especially to know that any of our listeners heard it and were hurt by it. So as soon as we noticed it, we fixed it. It's no longer in the feed. But listen, I understand that the painful legacy of the residential schools is anything but ancient history, and that pain is still fresh and it should never be forgotten. Actually, Pope Francis was here in Canada last week to apologize for it. When the Vatican apologizes for something as evil, it's got to be really fucking bad. Anyway, I digress. I'm sorry for the hurt my comment caused. You trust us to center survivors, and that comment making it to air was a total miss. I also want you all to know that we've been planning to do some deep dive episodes on the residential schools and all the culty shit and ongoing mindfuckery that Indigenous people everywhere contend with every day, not just 100 years ago, right now. Anyway, Heather Elliott, if you didn't get a note back from us, it's not because we didn't try. Shoot us a line at hello@alittlebitculty.com if you don't mind. Thank you all for the feedback, everybody. We always want to know what our listeners think, good or bad, especially when you write to us in such thoughtful ways like Heather did. She was just kind of hurt and disappointed, but didn't say we were evil assholes. She just pointed it out and stated how she felt. Kind of powerful.
Civil discourse.
Yes, civil. We will always accept it, civil discourse. Okay, that's our time with the housekeeping. What do you want to cover today, Nip?
What questions you got?
Well, we've actually been interacting with a lot of people out and about, various social gatherings as we say goodbye to everybody. Mm-hmm. And the conversation that we had the other day elicited a whole bunch of memories about Nippy that I had totally forgotten. Because people were like, but what was the day-to-day like? You know, what were you doing on a day-to-day? We're just sitting around EMing each other all the time. A lot of our time in workshops, like in actual intensives, they were called, like especially workshops or seminars, we were sitting in a group of mostly our friends, sometimes not our friends, but sometimes our friends, and we'd be like answering a series of questions that would sound like, let's riff it, Nip. I'll go first. You go second. What is honor?
Well, you have to put it in context of something to make it work. Like, that's why they were called honesty and disclosure. You know, he's playing with language in that. So I think the first language would be like, what is honesty? What is disclosure? Can you have honesty without disclosure?
Can you have disclosure without honesty?
So there's a lot of Venn questioning to make it look like you did some thinking. And you did probably. You probably figured out some stuff.
You did.
But really what I think a lot of those things were is just proactive daydreaming.
Yeah, but there was also like, we thought we were reevaluating our belief system and we're digging in on topics right. Like honesty and value and self-esteem. And then those are the philosophical modules. And then there were modules about emotions.
And state control.
Learning state control, which is like basically being able to push a button internally that would trigger any emotion that you wanted at any given time. And then like the practical modules, right? The time and lists and like procrastination.
A lot of stuff that made you feel like you were doing something.
Right. Point being, I feel like, you know, sitting around in that image of like us having these conversations, most of the time they're quite serious. But if you had Nippy in your group, guaranteed you would be like spending most of the class trying to not laugh because surprise, surprise, there he was, Nippy Ames.
He made it fun
and he was always like try to sneak off and first of all, like if you got bored, you'd be like, I have to go pick up Troy or something, but really you were going to the gym or something.
Yeah, well, I wasn't getting paid, so I was like, you know,
fuck this,
I'm peacing out.
And then there was that one time that you like snuck off to fart, but as you were standing up, you were walking down the aisle and you farted so loud in a room of like 500 people. Really? No, like 50 people. Really? 50 people.
Really? You just throw that out there, huh?
But I've never seen you embarrassed. That's why the memory sticks out, because you were actually trying to sneak it out.
It was so loud.
It was so loud. And you were like hid behind an easel. You were so embarrassed.
I couldn't blame it on anyone. There was no one with.
Couldn't blame it.
There was no
it
one
was
within,
obvious.
Like, you know, a foot of me that I could have just pointed at and been like, ugh, and like, you know, I was stranded.
What you're saying, that there's something happened when that show, when the Justin Timberlake video of Dick in a Box came out?
Oh, you love this story.
Tell me that story.
And ask the question, like, wasn't there a time? When, like,
I don't have it on my notes. I just happened to remember.
In the intensive. Yeah, so that would have been like, whenever that was, whenever Dick in a Box was like, and for those of you who don't know, it was a Saturday Night Live skit with Justin Timberlake, Sandberg,
It's called Dick in a Box.
I don't think you can explain this. I think that anyone who doesn't know what Dick in a Box is needs to stop this podcast.
Do Dick in a Box.
Google Dick in a Box.
Come back and it might be funny to you.
It's hard to say.
So needless to say, that was the backdrop of like our breaks and like Lauren had it out and it was just so fucking funny. And it was one of those things that every time—
Wait, Lauren had it out? What do you mean Lauren had what out?
We're like, we were all watching it before class and she was teaching the intensive and like— It was one of those videos that's so funny. You watch it again and it's just, it keeps getting funnier. And I guess there was a downtime in the intensive as there were. And I draw like the perfect looking penis on my like notes, right?
Wait, you were drawing penises?
Well, I was drawing a picture and then just let me finish. This is my story. Okay. And so I draw a penis, but I had like the head on it, like the mushroom head on it. It was just really well done. And then I do like one of those 3D boxes around it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the funny things about it is that it was drawn really precisely and neat. Right. So it looked like I spent mm-hmm. time on it. And a friend of ours was sitting right in front of me. And I'm looking around the room, is like, who would think this is, you know, funny? And his back is to me. And I take it and I go around his shoulder and I drop it in his lap. So I don't really get to see it. And all I see from behind is his body starting to shake with laughter, but he's trying to hold it in because Lauren's teaching the intensive. And he's starting to like vibrate, like jiggle. And then he passes it to the next person. And the same thing starts to happen. And the note starts to go down the aisle. And then finally, our friend explodes. I get up and just leave the room. And like three people have to leave the intensive. And finally, Lauren's like, what? I felt like I got caught in class. And then, you know, Lauren was, she thought it was funny and we had to pause class.
You know, it may be one of those had to be there kind of moments, but I feel like a lot of the things that people always are asking, they're like, what's Lauren like? And what was the day to day? And one thing I will say, it was such a fond memory of like when things weren't bad, like when things were fun. Intensives with Lauren were usually very fun. She was hilarious and told great stories and, you know, made it like the examples were always relatable to your life. And
yeah, in spite of all of it, like, it's funny. I had some of the biggest belly laughs of my life with a lot of those people, even people that are still loyal and stuff like that.
That's a good story. Those were some good times.
Thanks.
Hey, A Little Bit Culty listeners. Bless your little bitty hearts for helping support this podcast. You asked us to put a link up where you could make a one-time or monthly contributions to help us cover the costs of taking this podcast from our living room to your earbuds. And so we did. And wow. You weren't kidding around when you said you wanted to help this podcast keep on cranking out episodes. You stepped up. Thank you. In fact, in a relatively short time, 70 of you have already chipped in. And together, the whole beautiful lot of you have covered the cost of making almost 5 full A Little Bit Culty episodes. That's pretty freaking good. You are amazing. Did you know that? And yes, we're talking to you, Veronica Wells, Annie Blake, Thomas Wicks, and John Breen, and you, Kenny Bernstein, and Kristen O'Rourke. You rule, Sarah Priestley and Roger Seidman, and you are rad. Andrea Padillas, Helena Durst, Sally Lotz, Joel Blair, and Jolene Bishop. That's just a few of you who are helping to make this podcast happen. Want to make a contribution? Just go to alittlebitculty.com/support or the link in our Instagram bio. Every little bit helps keep A Little Bit Culty trucking along. Thanks again. We adore you. Like when people say, what's the day to day? We actually did, depending on how much of a keener you were, a lot of which I was and Nippy wasn't in the same way, right? Like, I was more obedient and trying to get, you know, earn stripes and stars.
I don't know. I mean, we had different responsibilities and you were running a center and like, you know, Vancouver's 3 hours behind. So when the intensive was over, you had responsibilities back in Vancouver that I just did.
Yeah.
Right.
You did do a lot of EMs though.
Tried to.
Do you remember sitting around, like just sitting and just EMing? Like an EM would take minimum 20 minutes, sometimes an hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean, for a little bit, but I just found them so complicated. And then trying to get them evaluated by someone was a whole nother process. It was just a drag, the whole thing.
I mean, sometimes they were amazing. Like sometimes you'd sit down with somebody and they'd tell you, oh, like I haven't talked to my father in 10 years because we had this fight. And you do like an hour and a half. It's called a projection sourcing, which is a particular type of EM.
Yeah, but those weren't really EMs. Those were sheets we were following that had specific questions that were guiding us. In terms of the actual EM where someone came to me with an issue, I just found those difficult.
They were difficult, but I'm sure you helped lots of people. Like I know people would reach out after and be like, oh my God, I'm able to like contact my father now, or now I can take an airplane without needing drugs, or like, you know, muscle relaxants or whatever people do. I'm no longer afraid of heights. Like if you have helped somebody evolve an issue, that was really meaningful, right?
I don't know that I ever really did that. I can't say for sure that I did that.
I think you did. I know you did. I'm sure you did.
Look, I'm not a therapist.
Or it felt like we did. Yeah, I'm not a therapist either.
Like we did, but I'm not going to claim any of that.
Here's what I was thinking. Like, assuming you did, or we tried to anyway, that's how it was used for good, the tool, right? But I remember this also came up in the last couple of weeks. The memory came up of this guy. I'm not going to say his name because he's still loyal to Keith. He was my mentor a number of times. And he did an EM on me, which basically was about my attachment to having kids. And by the end of the EM, I actually said how I could see how it actually might be better for humanity if I didn't have a baby, so I could grow this community, and having a baby would take me away from that. That was the point of the EM, to work on my attachment. Do you think that's crazy, knowing what we know now?
I just think you have a capacity to see things from different perspectives, and he manipulated that.
Yeah, of course. My point is, though, is you can EM someone to not want to have a baby.
You can manipulate them. It's called coercive control.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying. So knowing what we know now.
I thought you were amazed at the EM process. That's what no. I thought
you were driving. Oh my God. I was saying the flip side of helping them. If somebody wanted to fuck with someone's head with an EM, okay. Like I'm just saying that was an example of how my head was fucked with. It helped me to like be less reactive to people in my life that were triggering and it helped me to, you know, not be nervous in auditions. For sure.
Yeah, I felt that there's aspects of it that did that, that achieved that.
My point was that, I don't know if this sounds like we're fighting right now, but I want people to understand like that it could be used for good, but when it was used for bad, like for somebody's objective, i.e. to help you, quote, work your attachment on being a mother, that's so problematic. And if that just happened to me.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about. Your emotions and your vulnerability are abused. Manipulated.
Yes. Well, that was one of the notes of the things that came up in conversation the last couple of weeks is how he weaponized that.
And it's leading. All of it's leading.
Do you have any chaps my asses?
No, but I do want to address a question this person, Rebecca, was asking. And it came up after our sick boy episode, I think. But she was commenting on hearing my sides of things. And she asked, if it hadn't been Sarah who was branded, how would your learning about DOS stuff affected your relationship with Nexium? Would you have left right away? Would you have believed the woman? And how do you think SOP influenced what you thought of DOS? Which I thought are good questions. And I think it also gets into, some people are like, oh, it didn't seem like Nippy fell for anything in there. And I think a lot of the times we're in our podcast, we're talking about how you got to your situation. And I didn't get to your situation. How I was indoctrinated was differently. And where I specifically found my case and everyone's case by case is I really believed in the mission of the company more so than I believed in Keith, and I also was targeted differently than everyone else. So my delusion was different. A lot of stuff that we talk about on the podcast has to do with your branding and the coercive control and the sex and all that. I wasn't targeted in that way. So a lot of that isn't where my story comes out. That said, if a woman comes to me with Keith's initials branded on her crotch and is upset and says, Keith did it, and she shows it to me, pretty sure that's going to be a pivot, no matter who shows me that. So in short, yeah, so it left right away. And how do I think SOP influenced what you thought of DOS? And I like this question because I didn't really consider this until I was asked it. But what we were building in SOP was like the drills and a group of men doing kind of like bonding things together. And we're doing it almost daily. So the fact that I was doing it and then my wife started doing it, however, like a year after, didn't really faze me. It was more of I was doing it and then she started doing it. I thought she was doing the same thing for the same reasons I was, right? So it looked a lot like what I was doing and I didn't have a problem with it until I learned what it really was.
In terms of like me doing the drills with different sort of assignments?
You were giving collateral away and nude photos and potentially the deed. Like none of that was going on in my group, right?
We were just doing it. But on the outside, it looked the same.
So I just think it looked normal. Not normal, but like I trusted it. Right. I didn't think that you had nude photos in the deed to your house and you're going to be getting branded. Right. So I think the SOP for a lot of guys was like, oh, yeah, the women are doing the same thing we're doing, just their version.
Totally.
So it was interesting. It was like I had gotten acclimated to a culture of intensity or whatever, really trauma. So thank you, Rebecca, for that question.
We tell our stories. We change the world. A Little Bit Culty is proud to support the hashtag I Got Out project, which empowers survivors of cultic abuse to share their stories online as a catalyst for education, prevention, and healing. Learn more about the hashtag I Got Out movement and find resources at igotout.org. I actually had a chaps my ass. I was in the bath the other night thinking about all the things we have to do to the house and like the handyman's coming to fix up this and that. And I had in my head, it was like the list of deficiencies. And that's what you call them, right? Like if there's things that need to be fixed, it's a deficiency. It's in a home especially, right? So I thought about that before, like that you're in, it's not good that we had these inner deficiencies, but I hadn't actually really thought about the word deficiency, how it's used in the world, especially with like what Amanda Montell tells us about the words. And then this whole time, they're saying, well, no, of course you're whole and complete. You just feel like you have this inner deficiency. And then it's always, what is your inner deficiency? And how does that relate to your inner deficiency? How are you going to fix your inner deficiency? How are you going to evolve it? What's your breach? How does it relate to your inner deficiency? Like, just the fact that we felt deficient is the fucking worst crime. Well, so many crimes, but emotional crime from the beginning that we accept that we have deficiencies and we got to fix it. And guess where we can fix it? Guess who's going to fix it?
Your coach.
Yeah. Anyway, that chaps my ass. That was on my mind as a general ass chapping that I thought I'd share. I had another thought that I was thinking about while we were away.
Go for it.
That maybe we should find a theater expert who's also well-versed in Nexian stuff, and we could take an episode and evaluate the plays that Keith chose to put on at VWeek Everywhere and what it means about his psychology.
Well, we can throw out some of those plays right now for people to take a stab at it and stab.
Take a stab.
Get it? See what I did there?
We got Les Mis. Les Miserables.
I can guess that.
But wait, wait. Sweeney Todd.
I'm having a hard time with that, but I'm kind of getting it.
Yeah.
Les Miserables, it was more like, this is the kind of thing we're doing.
Well.
It was pretending, right?
It's all about pretending to have character and honor and like fight the fight or whatever. Okay. So we'll save that for an episode, I think. I'm just planting the seed. If there's somebody who wants to be a theater expert and we can evaluate the choices of Keith's theater productions, great. I think we're also going to do an episode about the a cappella shit that happened there.
Who's going to talk to us about that, though?
Oh, I got the guy who was at the a cappella thing and is like the a cappella guy. He did all the like the scores of Pitch Perfect.
Oh, really?
Yes. And his name is Deke Sharon. And we've been in touch about coming on as a guest. I haven't asked him recently, but I'm going to. That'd be a fun episode.
What else is going on in the cultiverse?
Well, every day we get a new suggestion for a new cult. So there's still cults being formed, cults being discovered, cults being taken down. Oh my God, I forgot we didn't mention this sooner. We got to meet Mike Rinda.
Mike Rinda.
Did I say that
That's
wrong?
Right.
Mike Rinda.
Yeah, we got to have breakfast with Mike.
And his wife, Christy, and their whole team that came from all different parts of America to go on a cruise.
It was great.
And we met up in Vancouver, and it was so good to hug them after all this time.
And some inside Scientology
We got
scoop.
Some major scoop. And we're going to have Mike on in the fall to talk about his new book, which is, we saw the cover art for, and it looks so sharp.
I know, and he looked like a singer of a boy band.
He looks so handsome. He's still so handsome. Mike is such a good man. And Christy, what a power couple doing such good things.
That's great. They're going to be closer to us.
I didn't know that they had a foundation for survivors of Scientology. So go them. We're going to learn from them and just copy everything they do because they're awesome. I just want to say actually one more thing, sort of like another housekeeping thing. We so appreciate when people make suggestions. And also when they don't just say like, oh, do this cult or that cult, but they suggest like who might be good to interview or like what would be good to watch. We're not like one of those fancy podcasts that have like a whole team of researchers and writers and people doing all this stuff. Like we do that all ourselves and we want to expand and maybe hire someone to do that. But in the interim, when people send us like some points to research, it certainly helps get the ball rolling and in terms of especially vetting people a little bit.
We do read all the messages. I try and return at least two a day.
And we're still 180 behind as of today, as of late July.
Sorry about that.
This will air mid-August. Sorry about that. I'm going to hope to spend some time this summer getting back to some of you.
But we are moving, so we will get back
soon
into it. Soon.
We cannot wait to roll out season 5. We've actually already recorded most of it, and it's going to be so very good.
It's going to be lava, Sarah.
Hot like lava?
It means hot.
It's hot right now in Vancouver. It's unusually hot. And you know how I know?
Yes, I do.
Three people in my life who I love, I had to like subtly tell them they need a new deodorant. It's like so hot that everyone
that wasn't
is
me.
Just, no, it wasn't you. Yeah. It wasn't you. Actually, the joke was, then I realized I was in the same boat. It's just really unbearably hot. We're going to go find a cold pool to dip in because we're crazy. Anyway, thank you guys for listening for the bonus summer smorgasbord extravaganza. Hope you enjoyed our little chit chat. Season 5, we'll be announcing it shortly.
Boom.
Bye. Sinking down to the depths of the ocean.
Let's keep the conversation going. We'll be back soon with more episodes of A Little Bit Culty with more experts and survivors. And sometimes experts who are survivors, as well as some familiar faces from The Vow from HBO. If you've got suggestions or questions on upcoming topics, find us on Instagram at A Little Bit Culty.
And for more background on what brought me here, my memoir, Scarred, the True Story of How I Escaped NXIVM, the Cult That Bound My Life, is available on Amazon, Audible, and where most books are sold.
If you'd like to help us spread the word about A Little Bit Culty podcast, please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe.
Seriously, like, take out their phone and tell them to press subscribe. It takes a second. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and every major listening app. And if you're listening on a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of this podcast to find show notes and helpful resources.
You might also find some offers from our sponsors there. And when you support our sponsors, you help us keep this podcast going. Just don't be a little bit culty about it.
A Little Bit Culty is executive produced by me, your co-host, Sarah Edmondson, and Anthony Nippy Ames.
That's me.
Associate producer is Jess Tardy. Produced, edited, mixed, and mastered by Citizens of Sound. Our amazing theme song, Cultivated, is by John Bryant and co-written by Nigel Asselin. I'm Sarah Edmondson, and thanks for listening to A Little Bit Culty.